Tonight I'm going to start a little series tonight called, what I call it? Breath of Destiny. And I want to get into some areas tonight and really, you know, try to help you in some areas and see if we can't have some fun with this. There was something I looked up that I thought was very interesting. Let me just start off by saying that we're going to talk about destiny in several different ways with this teaching. But there are evolutionists out there. You ever confronted an evolutionist? Do you know an evolutionist now is not just, you know, it's not just a person who says we come from monkeys. It's not. That's not evolutionist. People think, oh, those are the folks who think we come from monkeys. No, that's not evolutionist. In fact, I went to their website and pulled up the Evolutionist Manifesto. They have a manifesto, which is there's 15 of them. And I thought it very interesting because all 15, I couldn't find anywhere where it mentioned it about any apes or monkeys. See, that's the simplistic lie. But it goes a lot deeper than that because, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because I want you to understand, because these people tell us that we are accidents of nature and we have no purpose for existing. That's why this thing is so damning and deadly to people. And as I began to go through some of this, I began to realize that, you know what, there's a lot of this stuff inside the church. And I think that it just, you know, comes into our homes, maybe through our children, because they're teaching this stuff in the school systems. So you have to be very careful of what they're teaching your children. I'd get really involved if I were you in the school system and to make sure that your children are being taught the proper things. But they're being taught this. And it's pretty interesting as I went through some of this. The first one I found here, their first one in their manifesto, is religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and non-created. Well, there you go. There is no God. Very simple, right? Secondly, humanism believes that man is a part of nature and that he has emerged as a result of a continuous process. See, they didn't say that about the monkey, but it's a continuous process. Hallelujah. Thirdly, holding an organic view of life, humanists find that the traditional dualism of mind and body must be rejected. They're not even allowed to even really... This stuff gets worse, you know. I don't even read the fourth one because it's just so ridiculous. I don't even want to talk about it. But the fifth one, just a portion of it. Religion must formulate its hopes and plans in the light of the scientific spirit and method. In other words, it's all about science. Sixth, we are convinced that the time has passed for theism, deism, modernism, and the several varieties of new thought. Well, I amen a lot of that, but when they started out with theism, this is a theistic body that's called the church. The church is a theistic body, which means it's ran by God, right? Amen. Can I get an amen here tonight? I know you don't even know where I'm going, do you? But you hang with me, you'll get there. All right, last part of the seventh one is the distinction between the sacred and the secular can no longer be maintained. There's no difference between sacred and secular anymore. Amazing. Aren't you glad we still got some leaders in the church that still... It's all about Jesus, right? All right. Religious humanism considers the complete realization of human personality to be the end of man's life and seek its development and fulfillment in the here and now. This is it, folks. Just live it all the gusto you can because this is it. He said, this is the explanation of the humanist social passion. And they use the word a lot in here about socialism, so you've got to be very careful with that as well. In the place of the old attitudes involved in worship and prayer, the humanist finds his religious emotions expressed in a heightened sense of personal life and in a cooperative effort to promote social well-being. Can you see the social part of it there? Do good to others, do good, do good, do good. And that's part of the Bible. We know that to be true. But that is their method of attaining their well-being here in earth while they're here because this is it. So do all the social things you can because it's eventually all over anyway. A lot of this really, and I also looked up the Communist Manifesto. You need to do some research yourself every now and then. But the Communist Manifesto is pretty close to a lot of this. It's pretty interesting how socialism, communism, and this all kind of combines itself together. All right, I don't know about you, but I am a total cripple. I need Jesus. Amen. I need Him to walk. I need Him to talk. I need Him to breathe. I just need Jesus. I don't know about you. All right. And I don't want to read any more. It's just depressing stuff. But anyway, when you look at this, it's really pretty sad. So the first statement I want to make tonight is the evolutionists really, really tell us that we are accidents of nature. We just happen to be. And so therefore, there can't be any purpose for existing in this life. So why even bother? Also, you have secular humanism that also says that that would have us create our own purpose and value system. There's no God, so let's just create our own system of values. I'm pretty sure that none of that works. But I want to tell you tonight that man without knowledge of Jesus Christ, man without knowledge of the Creator God Jehovah, without that knowledge in man and the purpose that we live, then we're not going to live any higher than the animal kingdom would live. In Genesis, remember when God created Adam and Eve, He created them higher than everything else. He created them like Himself to rule and reign over the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and so forth. So we rule and reign. Humanists and all those secular ideas said that we're all equal. Plants are equal. You know, animals are all equal. That's why we shouldn't eat animals, because therefore they're equal with us and all that. And all that has its ties in Eastern mysticism and all of that as well. So we have to really believe this book like no other time than we do today. Amen? This is the Word of God. This is God's Word. I'm going to keep saying it till you shout amen. This is God's Word. All right. Get excited, because this is God's Word right here. So we want to know what God's Word has to say about man and his creation, right? Now, I want to start with Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 32. I gave John some scriptures tonight that literally, I don't know how many scriptures, I gave him 2 pages of scriptures. And I said, load them in there. We'll see how far we'll get with all this. But I don't know, I don't know of any church where you're going to go to find more Bible, that we open the Bible by putting up there for you, than any other. You are going to get God's Word. That's what we're about here, all right? So look at this in Romans 8, 26 through 32. Because how many would like to be prosperous? Well, let me tell you something right now, all right? I'm going to ring the bell tonight. You better listen. The government does not have your answer to prosperity. You're not going to get it from the government. I've been around longer than most of you here, and I'm telling you, I saw a lot of presidents, I saw a lot of senators, I saw a lot of congressmen, and every one of them promised everything, and nobody can deliver, because there is no deliverance outside of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? All right. Talk to everybody you want to talk to. Nobody's going to give you any answers but Him. And you better get that in your spirit, because if you put your trust in anything but Him, you're going to be sorely, sorely dissatisfied. So if you want prosperity, I'm going to show you how to get it. You want fulfillment in your life? There's only 2 things we're actually looking for in life. We're looking for prosperity, not just finances, but looking for prosperity in every area of our life, our families, our children, you know, our education, and all that we do, and to be fulfilled within the realm of that prosperity, right? But I can show you people who are filthy rich and have no fulfillment at all. I can show you those who are very poor but have great fulfillment. So you need to understand these very important principles before we go any further. All right, Romans chapter 8. Look at this. It says, likewise the Spirit. And every time you see the capital S on Spirit in your Bible, that is the Holy Spirit. So let's just say that, all right? Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Anybody got any weaknesses? For we do not know what we should pray for as we should, but the Holy Spirit Himself, say Himself, it's not herself, it's Himself. I can't believe people, I swear I can't. But the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. Now watch. And where does He live? Where does He live? You all ought to know that. I teach it every service. He lives in you, right? So inside of you, there is someone named the Holy Spirit who is praying for you consistently. Now watch this. Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit is, because He, capital H, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So God in you is praying God's will out of you. Do you understand that? This is great. Now watch. And then right after that is this great verse that we all know. For we know that all things work together for good, say good, good. to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, look at this, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, you know who the predestined people are? That's you. You. Now watch. If He's in you, you're predestined. These He also called, whom He called, these He also justified. Who He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to all these things I just read to you? If God is for us, who can be against us? Are you all hearing this? Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? All right. Now watch. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So you were created with a purpose in mind. You were created with an idea that God had about your life. This is so incredible when you meditate on this for a few minutes. So prosperity, you told me you were looking for that, right? And fulfillment, they always come, and this is the only way that prosperity and fulfillment come. They come from destiny and purpose. Did you hear that? Prosperity and fulfillment only come from destiny and purpose. So if you don't know your destiny and you don't know your purpose, and I'm going to help you with that over a few weeks. If you don't know those, then you walk around as a child of God with Him on the inside praying for you for the will of God to work in your life, but yet you're just kind of stumbling through life, never finding really what you really want in life, because destiny and purpose cannot work outside of this simple truth of prosperity and fulfillment. And you've got to understand they're all tied together. So God wants you to know that you have a destiny, that there's a reason for you being, okay? There's a reason for you to be here. And I'm going to give you a ton of scriptures to let you know that fact is true. I remember several years ago, I was on a walk with the Lord, and the Lord spoke something to me, and I've shared this over the years, many places. I've shared it here several times. But the Lord spoke to me and says that about being in the Spirit of God, and it took me to several verses of being in the presence of God and God being in us and all those kind of things. He said to me that you need to know why you breathe air. And I'm like, well, I breathe air to live, you know. That's a common answer, right? But you don't. And I'm going to share that with you. There's a reason why we breathe air. There's a breath of destiny God breathes on us. Remember when Adam was created by God?
Yeah.
Adam was created, formed out of the dust of the ground, right? God just created him. He wanted him to look like a man, whatever man would be. He created this man, but yet he had no life in him until God breathed into him. What did He breathe into him? He breathed into him the breath of life or the breath of destiny. So that's what happens in all of us when we're born in this world. We have a breath of destiny breathed into us by God. And you need to get that so deep in your spirit to know that you are so important to the plan and of God and what God has for this earth. All right? So let me talk to you about a few different things. Throw up on the screen there, John. Is that next to the omniscient thing? Would you put that up there for me? Let me give you three words that I want you to know before we go much farther, okay? First of all, God is omniscient. That's not a word you see very often. But God is omniscient. That means there's a lot of deep things that it means. But it means very simply, it means He's all-knowing and all-seeing. So God knows everything. God sees everything. Now, that is an amazing feat, but that's what our God is like. He's all-knowing. He's all seeing. How many know that God knows everything there is about you? He does. He knows everything about you. And He sees everything you do. Uh-huh. How many are going to stop doing what you've been doing? He's all knowing. He's all seeing. That's just the way He is. And the Bible calls Him omnipresent. That's also a deep word, but it means present in all places at the same time. So God is with me on my walk this morning and speaking to me, and I'm sure He was with you somewhere, wherever you were. He was with you as well. So God can be everywhere at the same time. God knows everything there is to know, And God can see everything all at the same time that's going on all over the world. I wonder if God is in control of America. I wonder. Do you think He might be? You guys are quiet. Are you listening intently tonight? All right. I'm not a political man. Yes, I am. But I don't try to be. I don't really want to be. I really don't want to be. I am politically motivated by truth in the Word of God. That's what I'm motivated by. And so anyway, we have to understand that whatever we get comes from our all-knowing God who knows what I need. It all comes from the all-seeing God who sees what I need. And it comes from a God who can be right there at the very precise moment that I need Him, because He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's always there, and He's there with me, with you, with all the whole world. Whoever wants Him, He'll be there with them as well. That's a great God. It's an incredible God. So God wants us to understand that our... And I'm gonna share some other deeper things on Sunday with a different point of view toward it. But I want to share a little bit about that we need to understand that God is in such control that we don't need to be, you know, bound up by whatever's going on around us and get all the issues going on in the world today. And I know there's some issues out there. But let me say something to you. Can you change anything?
No.
Is there one thing you can change in this country? One thing. Well, there is one. And you can change anybody you don't like. You can vote them out. Or you can vote in who you want to vote in. That's the only voice you've got. Outside of that, when they get there, they mess it all up anyway. It don't matter. So, where's your trust in? Listen, I got a good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, named Ryan, Paul Ryan. And he is a congressman from the state of the great state of Wisconsin. And I got to say that. And he's a good friend of mine. In fact, he's the one who introduced me on the House floor of the Congress. And a great, great guy. He introduced me to his first term as a congressman. He's now a 7 or 8 term congressman now. In fact, they're being pushed up to running for president right now. He'll want it, but they're pushing him. He's a very young, dynamic guy, good-looking guy. I mean, he's a very intelligent guy, very smart guy, and all of that. I had a long conversation with him many years ago because he'd come to every event that I had in Wisconsin, a great man. And always came, always had a few words or whatever. And we had a conversation about all the problems. And believe me, there were problems back then, huge problems as well. And he said, there's no way that man can solve the problems of this country. The problems of this country are solved by God. And he said, we have to pray, we have to believe, and we have to stand strong, and we have a destiny. And as long as we walk in that destiny, God will prosper us and God will fulfill our lives. And I thought those were words of wisdom, so I wrote them down. I'm sharing with you tonight. And these are men that we need to pray for, obviously. But listen, you have a destiny. This country has a destiny. God is in the destiny business. This country didn't spring up because, hey, you know, a couple of guys got together, got mad in England, came over and started a country. It's a good idea. No, it was a God thing. God's going to take care of it. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So don't watch the news. I've never seen so much quarreling and fighting in my whole life. I can get that at home. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You know I'm telling you the truth. My wife and I never fight. We just said we're just not going to fight anymore. I couldn't even say that with a straight face. That was so ridiculous. I couldn't even say it with a straight face. We fought today. I think. I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah, we did. We fought today. So we get in the car, and you know, you ever do something, Pastor Tim? You do something, and you don't know what you've done, but you know it had to be something because the way they're acting, like they don't speak. You ask a simple question, they don't laugh at your joke, and you're wondering, I know I did something. I got to think a minute. What did I say and do? I caught myself real quick. We're on the way to church, and she looked really gorgeous. She got in the car. And she's sitting next to me, and I'm driving on the road, and I pop a little joke out there, and she didn't even answer. I thought, what did I do? And then I remembered about noon today what I did. I thought, aha, thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing that to me. And I just said, boy, you sure are pretty tonight. You are just gorgeous. And she turned to me and said, well, thank you, but don't ever let that happen again. Okay. In other words, I'll take the compliment, but you're still a jerk. You know, I can read between the lines. I get that. No, I'm just kidding. But prosperity and fulfillment, you guys want that, right? Well, it only comes from destiny and purpose according to Romans chapter 8. See, God has a destiny for you. When He says that all things work together for good to those who are, and it's interesting, to those who are not called, but those who are the called. Every word in the Bible is very, very, very important. So it's not just called general, but it's the called. So you are the called of God. And everything works out for your good. Nothing bad is going to work out for you. Only good works out for you. How can only good work out for you? Because it's predestined. God predestined you to goodness. He predestined you to have good things. He predestined you to have success. He predestined you to have a good family, good children. He predestined all that. Now, there are choices. We're going to get to all that. Why? I know questions are flying. Why this and why that? We'll get to all that. And there are reasons that we go through things that we don't have to go through. But the truth of it is, in God's mind, He's already predestined you into great things. You're already there. He's already predestined you to be something that you really don't feel like you are right now. But God says, no, every thought I think is good towards you. Every time I think of you, I think of something good about you. See, God is always trying to promote you into His destiny, His purpose. And that's what that scripture says when the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is praying the will of God out of you. He's praying your destiny out of you. That's what He's doing. Because we don't know what to pray for as we should, right?
Right.
How many know what to pray for? Really seriously know what to pray for? Unless you got a real problem, you don't even know what to pray for. Sometimes you get up and you know, you don't really have any big problems. Your day's pretty good, you know. How many of you have a good day?
Yeah.
Right? So your things are going well. You don't know what to pray for as you should, but let Him pray through you. And that's where the praying of the Spirit comes. And you pray and you let the Spirit of God pray through you. And then you're allowing the will of God to come forth for the purpose of success, prosperity, purpose, destiny, all those things. Because God says, hey, I only think good stuff toward you. And nothing bad's going to happen to you, only good. And the question I know is, well, what about the bad stuff that happens to me then? We're going to get to that because there's some reasons that it does come. We want to talk about those things, right? All right, so now, God, let me show you this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. And this is the Amplified version, a little bit longer, but it says it so much better. It says, may blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realm. Now, that's a lot of stuff right there. How many blessings? No, not a lot. How many? Every. A lot would be a certain amount. Some would be a certain amount. A little, a lot, in between. No, God said He's going to bless you with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit. Once again, tie it to Romans chapter 8. Blessing in the heavenly realm. Even as in His love, He chose us, actually picked us out for Himself as His own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for Him and blameless in His sight, even above reproach, before Him in love. For He foreordained us, there's that predestined, He destined us, planned in love for us, to be adopted, revealed as His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of His will, because it pleased Him and was His kind intent, so that we might be to the praise and the commendation of His glorious grace, favor and mercy, which He so freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. My, my, my. I mean, you got to go every word of that thing. It's just chock full of good stuff. So He's predestined us, right? That means simply He has thought this out beforehand. God in eternity, before there ever was anything but God. And I know your mind don't want to go there because, quite frankly, it will overload and you will explode in your seat. It's just too much to think about, right? But before there was anything but God, just Him, the Trinity, just the three in one, the one in three, just them, as God is alone by Himself in the beginning, before anything ever was, He began to think and predetermine how He wants to bring you into this world and make you a blessing. That's a great God. And when you read that stuff, it's like, that's too good to be true. That can't possibly be that good. There's got to be some bad in there somewhere. And that's exactly what a lot of preachers do. They want to go start digging out some bad stuff to mix with the good stuff because the good stuff is just too stinking good. It's so good that, you know, it can't be all true. It's so good that if I preach good stuff to the people, only good stuff, then all of a sudden they're going to begin to feel a little bit too secure, too good about themselves. You know, they're going to feel too righteous, too holy. You know, they're going to get too confident. And truthfully, that's exactly where you should be. To a place in your life where you're so confident, you're so full of God, that you know that I am here for a purpose. I have a destiny. I am not an evolutionist. I need God. I was born with a purpose. I am not a secular humanist. I'm not here to do good for people. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to glorify the God of heaven. And how do I glorify the God of heaven? That is by believing in Jesus Christ and getting Jesus in my life. That's why God gets mad at people and wants to destroy nations in the Old Testament, is because they would not accept the only way to get to God, and that is avenues that He set up. And they're all really avenues that point to the person of Jesus in the future. So it's all about Christ, right? Did you notice how it broke out in this service tonight when God began to glorify Himself and Jesus began to be exalted? It's not about people. It's not about personalities. It's about Jesus. And so the more you lift Him and exalt Him, the greater explosion of almightiness in the service becomes. And then all of a sudden, the revelation of prosperity, the revelation of fulfillment, the revelation of destiny and purpose begins to come alive. And we realize, I'm here for a reason. Because God predetermined, when He was the only one, He predetermined that Jerry Pruitt would be born, you know, and September 30th of 1948. That was predetermined before there was anything ever created, ever. And just for me, God made the mountains and God made the streams and God made the rivers and God made everything when He had me in mind. You say, what about me? You too. And I want you to understand that. Because when you get that kind of jumping in your spirit, I'm going to tell you, you come alive. You begin to come alive to the things of God. And you know that I go to bed at night with a purpose. I get up with a purpose. I have a destiny. I have a reason for being. I know what God wants me to do. And that's exciting life to live. Amen? Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Version says this, "For we are God's own handiwork. We are His workmanship." Do you realize that God created you just like He created Adam? Just like Adam. He had you specifically in mind. You know, my wife and I do this, and it's funny sometimes, but we go to these large airports or we go to these large cities, and I love to sit and people watch. Anybody like to do that? I love to watch people because they're hilarious to watch. They're funny. And so I'll sit and watch them. Just the other day, I don't know where we were, and we're sitting there, and there are all these people. And I said, "Look, honey, at all these people." She said, "There's a lot of people." And I said, "But not one of them look alike. Not a one."
Yeah.
I said, "How is that possible?" Then I got to thinking, well, there's about 6 billion people in the earth. And not a one of them look alike unless they're identical twins that came from the same DNA. But other than that, everybody is completely different. And even identical twins are really different in their soulish area. But I mean, not one of them look alike. They don't look alike. How can you have that many people in the world and not everybody look alike? It's impossible, right? It's a God thing because God created everybody to look a little bit different because you're very unique. In fact, what we know now about DNA is pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, back in my day, it was like a fingerprint. If you didn't get your fingerprints on it, you were going to get away with it. Don't leave your fingerprints on it, right? Because that's the only way they could tell who you are. But the truth of it is, now they got your DNA. And there's nobody like your DNA. How unique is that? Isn't that incredible? They can scrape skin. They can just little bitty particles and they got you. You were at the scene of the crime. Right? Did you know that your DNA was at the scene of the crime, the cross? Because Jesus took on all of your uglies. Took it upon Himself. So all your ugly DNA that needed to be destroyed, He took upon Himself and nailed up the cross. So you were at the scene of the crime. You're guilty. We caught you. Now you didn't know that, did you? All right, when you understand that you are predetermined, it gets pretty exciting, doesn't it? You don't have to, you know, try to fight your way through. Now you realize, you know what? It's not about me climbing a corporate ladder or working through life to try to attain some level of whatever I'm looking for. See, that takes the government out of the picture now. That takes whatever they do in Washington out of the picture in my life. Doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they do. I'm not going to lay awake at night wondering about what am I going to do? Is it true? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? I don't know what it's going to be like, and neither do you. Nobody knows what it's going to be like but one, and that's God. Because He predetermined everything to be the way that it is. God likes to put the pressure and turn the old screws and get things tightened up in this world to make people make choices and point them to the cross. Isn't that incredible? God's incredible. But if you start looking at other avenues for your answers, you're going to be sorely displeased. You really, really are. Because I thought when Ronald Reagan rode in the white horse in the White House, I thought, my God, I have died and gone to heaven. What a great man he was. And what a great man he was. You know, but yet, you know, he died and he's gone and we got other people. Isn't that amazing how God just keeps moving along? Then we got Bill Clinton. Like, who is this guy from Arkansas? I use a scripture out of the Bible, you know, that says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Arkansas? I don't know. But anyway. Now, you know what? I liked him. He was a very, very nice guy. I mean, a very nice guy. And he governed well, I thought. He had a little side thing going on. It's just side job. But you know what? He governed well. He did well. You know, we thought, oh my God, is everything going to go to hell now for sure? It didn't go to hell, did it? Things worked. We're still there, right? We're still here. Things are good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it goes on and on and on. So we don't look for our answers in that because everything's been predetermined in our lives. I love that. That means I don't have to make any incredible decisions in my life. God's predetermined. All I got to do is find out what He's predetermined. And that's my drive in life, to figure out what God figured out in the first place. Right? So when you do that, you're going to be all right. Did I read that verse yet? Did I read all of that verse? All right. Let me go back to it. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Recreated. See that word? Recreated in Christ Jesus. That means you were, you know, you needed to be recreated. Or the Bible, or Jesus called it born again. Now watch. Born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life, I love the Amplified Version, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. He's prearranged you a good life. If you're not living a good life, find it. Find it. It's just not in the path you're on right now. He's predetermined a place for you. Remember I said Sunday that you find your place of blessing wherever God places you. You don't go hunting for blessing. It is where you are. But, you know, one of the worst things that is people to go back into... Listen, one of the worst things that Israel wanted was to go back to Egypt. It wasn't good the first time around. But somehow it'll change if I go back. That's just in man's nature, always want to go back to what they thought was good. And when you get back there, well, that grass wasn't as green as I thought it was. It wasn't that good. I hated where I lived back then. I don't want to say that, but I didn't like it very much. I complained about it all the time. Then when God moved me out here for the first 6 months, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe I should go back there. I don't know. It wasn't that bad. At least I had onions, you know. Really, you think those things because it's in man's nature to want to go back to find what wasn't there in the first place.
Right.
If it was there in the first place, it would have been destiny.
Right.
God never takes you from somewhere and brings you somewhere else and says, oh, gee, I think I'll put you back. I made a mistake. Got the angels checking up here in the books and found out that was a wrong move for you. I'm going to send you back. It's never the will of God to do that. But so many people, especially when they get your age. When you get Mike's age, you know, you kind of want to go back to your roots. My dad did that. I want to go back to my roots. I said, why? You left there and hated it when you left it.
Yeah.
It didn't change any, did it?
No.
No. It's because it's in our nature to want to make bad decisions. So I, years ago, when God called me in ministry, at that point, I said, you know what? I'm never making a decision again what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It's just that simple. That way, I'm in predestined territory. I'm on the place I should be, on the path where I should be, and blessings will have to follow me because I'm right where God wants me to be. Is anybody in the house?
Yeah.
All right. So, God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. So, He is not limited then to time or space knowledge, is He? Not limited. Now, think about that. He's not limited to time or space knowledge. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, he's obviously speaking to Jeremiah about his destiny. So he says, Jeremiah, look, before mom and dad ever got together. Look at that. Before you were formed in the womb. Before you ever got together, before the sperm and the egg, I knew I'd go into this if I kept talking long enough. Before the sperm and the egg got together, I absolutely knew you. Isn't that incredible? That's why abortion is so bad. Right? And by the way, if you want to vote for people in Congress and so forth, look up one thing. Do they want to kill babies? Are they pro-abortion? Then don't vote for them. Every time I go, that's what I do. And you got to be careful. I look down the list. I don't care about this economic stuff. I go right to one issue. I'm pro-abortion. I'm done. Where's the pro-life guy? Well, he's not as smart. You know, I don't know the guy, but you know what? You don't want to kill any babies, so I'm putting him in. And that's exactly how I vote. As weird as it is, but that's how I vote. Because I know one thing, you know why this is horrible? Because when someone kills a baby, and I don't want to, in every crowd, we always have women that have done this in their past, and I understand that. And it's not pertaining to you. God has healed you, and God has forgiven you, and God has cleansed you in the blood, and you know all that. You know, I'm a grace guy. You know all that. But I'm just saying that that people that have done that in their old days, what we have done is we have snuffed out a destiny.
Right.
And not only that, it's the destiny that God had predetermined way back before everything was, just Him. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is cool?
So we have to be very careful, right? So we have to be very careful that we don't, that the sanctity of life from pre-born all the way up to the aged, we have to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
Very important that we do that. Okay, I don't want to be political, but I'm just trying to help you, okay? So before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, you're in the womb, before you came out, I sanctified you. That means I set you apart for whatever it is that He had created for you to do. So you're set apart. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So Jeremiah had a special ordination as a prophet to the nations. But what is your little last phrase? What is it God has birthed you for? See, that's what you have to find out. That's what you have to know. It's amazing, you know. I was a child that was a mistake child. That means my mama was pregnant before they got married. I didn't know that till I was about 20. I was going through the papers. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. This has got to be a mistake. I sent off and got the records. I got the records. And I'm like, this don't jive. What's going on here? You know, I said, so I was not really planned. You didn't know that? You didn't know that? You knew that. You knew that. I got to pray for you, Lord. Just heal her memory in the name of Jesus. Done. Okay, now. She knew that. I don't know what she's talking about. Anyway. So I'm like, yeah, I'm like a month already in there before they decided to tie the knot. So I'm probably the reason they had to get married. I don't know. But anyway, I wasn't thought out. Like a lot of wonderful children are planned, right? We plan these children. I'm going to give you a newsflash. There are no planned children. Only He plans them. Right? He plans them. We think, we're trying. We're going to get pregnant. No, you're not. Not until He says so. Hey, I had a lady come to me one time. No kidding. She's 6 months pregnant, right? 6 months. Would you pray for me? I said, certainly. What is it you need prayer for? She said, pray that I have a boy. I'm like, you know, you really need to go to the back of the class. You haven't learned anything at all. Do you sit in my church? Are you here all the time? Do you honestly think that I got that kind of power? That I'm going to change that little girl into a little boy? Well, the Bible says you can have whatever you say. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're way off base here. That child is predetermined.
Amen.
You got boy, girl, whenever God said it, way back. That's why picking the sex of a child is wrong. Do you see how all this stuff is? We get funky. We get weird. And it's all, listen, you know what? A man, a lot of men, I don't know how many die, Crystal, you might know. A lot of men are attacked in their prostate cancer. And they're attacked in their prostate. A lot of men die with prostate cancer. It's a deadly, deadly thing. And if it doesn't kill you, it will enable you to have children. It'll enable you to even really have, you know, any kind of relationship with your wife. It's that bad. I know you think I'm going there again. I'm not. But it will, what is it doing? So it's attacking the man's ability to reproduce. And what do women get? Ovarian cancer. Attacking the woman's ability to conceive, to bring forth life. Satan attacks the areas that God blessed for us to be fruitful and multiply. He attacks those areas, and he's trying to, what are you trying to do? Give you cancer to kill you? No. He's trying to stop the prophets that are being born. Stop the preachers that are being born. Stop those who are bringing forth the revelation of the cross from being born. If he can stop that, then he stops everything. He knows that. Remember when Jesus came on the scene and he was born and then Herod got word of it?
Right.
And he said, go kill every child from 2 and under.
Right.
Every child from 2 years and under. See, the devil doesn't know. Didn't know who Jesus was. Didn't know how old he was. He knew he was pretty young. So just kill 2 and kill them 2 and under. Wipe out all the kids. What's he doing? What's the devil doing? He's trying to stop the destiny of the Messiah. He's still trying to do it. Right?
Right.
So that's why this teaching is so critically important. That's why to understand secular humanism is important. Some of you may even have some of those views. You need to work on that. You need to put the television, turn it off. You know, put your psychology books down. And you need to put all this nonsense behind you and pick up the Word of God. And say, you know what, I need to know what God says about this subject, because, listen to me, your destiny is not in psychology.
Right.
It's not. You're not going to find truth there. You're going to find all kinds of humanist ideas that are just degrading the destiny that God's placed in your heart that you have to fulfill in this life. All right, is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
All right, how much time we got? We got no time. I figured that was going to happen. All right, so this is first point. We got to point one. I didn't even get to point one. I got 2 scriptures in point one. I got a whole bunch more in point one yet. But anyway, go with this thought and remember that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. He is with you all the time. This is amazing, God. And He has predestined you, predetermined everything about you. And He said, and we know that all things work together for good. Not the good, for good. That means in general sense, your everything works together for good to those who are the called. That's you, according to His purpose. And Ephesians says that the Holy Spirit lives in you to pray for you the will of God, that everything will work out for your good.
Amen.
Isn't he great?
Yeah.
Would you all stand, please? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for the touch of your Spirit. We honestly and truly enjoyed your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Let it get strong in our spirit. Let us look solely to you in this hour. Let us not quarrel about issues that don't matter. Let's focus our attention upon you and you alone, because you have everything under control. I believe that with all my heart. We are destined for success. We are predetermined for good things in our life. Thank you for it, Lord. We give you all the glory. All the glory. In Jesus' name. And your heads are bowed just for a moment. Just one moment. I don't know if someone may have came in tonight and don't know Jesus. I want to make sure that if anybody walks through these doors, that we at least give the opportunity for them to accept the Savior. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, we want to pray for you. Very important that you know Him. Maybe you were touched by this humanist ideas and all these good things we try to do in this world that don't really matter to God at all. You know what pleases the Father? He said, how do you please Him? By believing in the one He sent. That's how you please the Father. Out of that comes all the good things, the works that Ephesians talks about. But it comes out of a heart that's been regenerated, born again by the Spirit. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, listen to me. Don't go to bed tonight and close your eyes without knowing Him. Don't go through one more day without knowing Him. Make sure you know Him. You don't want to know Him religiously because some man told you that you one time, a long time ago, maybe prayed a prayer, but you've never had a relationship with Him. You know you don't know Him. And this is your chance. So right now, all over this church, I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Don't forget me tonight. Put your hand up high so I can see it. I don't want to miss you tonight. Is there anyone tonight that will say, yes, I need Jesus tonight. I need Christ in my life. If you're all saved, I am so happy that you're here tonight. I really am. But if you're not saved, I want to pray for you. Is there anybody else one more time that I'm going to have to let you go? Is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to make it right with God tonight? I want to be right with Jesus tonight. Put your hand high so I can see it. Quickly. I'm going to have to let you go. Father, just touch every individual tonight. We thank you for everyone here. May your anointing be strong upon their life, Father. Drive this revelation into their heart tonight that they are somebody, that they have a purpose. We're going to go farther into your word to understand that purpose. But bless their revelation tonight. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Don't forget Sunday, 10:30. Bring a friend. We're going to have a time. I promise you that. Bye-bye.